Go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, help us forgive all those who offend us and do us wrong. Have mercy upon them, Father. Lord, we just pray that you would help us as we open your word to understand it, to apply it to our lives. Give us discerning hearts, Lord, to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to extend greetings to you this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light that came into the world, the light that manifests himself into the world. We believe Christ was the light that was in man, in the creation from the very beginning, the Creator, and that light is shining. I want to open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 2, verse 8 is where we'll begin reading. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law also shall also perish without the law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. What I want to talk about this morning, or at least lay a little groundwork here, first of all, is for when the Gentiles, in verse 14, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. What's it saying there? Kind of goes back and forth. The Jewish people had God's laws. They had the revelation of God, the manifestation of God's power right in front of them. They were trained. They were taught what's right and wrong. It was right in front of them. And they're going to be judged by what was right in front of them. But it said the Gentile also have a law that's written on their hearts. the Gentiles, those who were away from God, didn't know anything about, maybe even, the God of the Jews, had a law written on their hearts. And their conscience was telling them what was right and wrong. They knew it. And those who were able to listen to that voice were those who were hearing God's laws. Even though they weren't brought up in it, even though they didn't know much about it, they still heard God. They were hearing the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the deep, calling men to Him, to Himself. And Christ was the manifestation of that law. He came in the flesh. People often are looking for some kind of an experience that will confirm to themselves, what's this all about? What is this all about? People are trying to take the Bible and they're trying to convince each other that this is what I stand on. The Bible is just an expression of what we stand on. We're following that law that is written on our hearts. And I want to give you an example. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 16, God is dealing out His what's going to happen as a result of man's disobedience. God is revealing not just what He's going to do to punish someone, but He's revealing the fruit of what a man has sown and what is going to be produced. One of the brothers said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God told Adam that if you sow this seed of disobedience, you will reap death. And now He's explaining a little further of what's happened because man has disobeyed God. And the Lord, and I will put in, or let's go to 14. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow, and thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I read this verse because every time I've ever read it in my life, I questioned about what it was saying. And his and her desire shall be to her husband. Doesn't that sound nice? My desire will be to my husband. If you would ask the average woman, whenever her husband tells her to do something, if her desire is to her husband, would you find that true? Do you like being told what to do, women? Do you love just submitting because it's your husband and I'll just do whatever he wants me to do because my husband said it? And that's my desire that is part of the curse, that now I'm just going to, my desire is going to be to my husband. That's the curse that I received. Is that the way it is? There's some other versions that are often condemned by the one holy, true Bible believers. And they say, "And your desire shall be to rule over him." That's part of the curse. "And now your desire will be to rule over him." If you read those two verses and the natural law that's written in your hearts comes out, which one is true and honest? God is saying this is going to be a curse to the woman. Her natural curse, because of the result of sin, is to be over her husband. Her desire is going to be to rule over her husband. Is that the godly desire that God is trying to tell you? Or is that just the natural result of sin in your life? Is that the curse that God has placed upon women as a result of God's being men, children, men, women being separated from God? The Spirit of God is trying to lead us into all truth. And truth agrees with the Spirit of God, because that's what He is. That's what it's about. And you don't have to have a Bible. There's a lot of people that don't. To be in touch with the Spirit of God that's moving upon the face of the earth. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously and soberly and godly in this world. The woman has an inclination to be above her husband. But then the Spirit of God says, something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. You never have that assurance and that peace and that clarity. You may have it all figured out in your mind that he don't know nothing. But somewhere, way down deep in the truth of your heart that may be covered up with all kinds of sin and flesh and darkness and blackness, somewhere down there, way down deep, the Spirit of God is moving on the darkness and trying to show you, this is wrong. This is wrong. The natural inclination, that which got Eve in trouble in the first place, was she listened to Satan and it sounded right. And now she's got to sort through all that feelings and emotion and really listen to what God is trying to say, to find the truth. But it's there. You know, people oftentimes try to say, "Oh, the Jesus that you're talking about, all of that Jesus taught, all the other religions taught the same thing. We're all just serving the same God. You're just calling something different." Why is it that back through history, there was people that were teaching the golden rule. They were teaching all these things that Jesus taught in one variation or another. That just proves to me that Jesus he's nothing special. Because all those other people used to teach it. We've read about it in other books that way predated Christianity a long time ago. That just proves that Jesus was just imitating them. That's all that proves. And they build their case and just are convinced that that's the way it is. Unless the Spirit of God that was moving upon the face of the deep was trying to tell those people something too. And somewhere along the line, somebody stepped out of the world and just began to listen. And began to really listen to what is that way down deep thing in my heart that's saying all of this madness is wrong. And they begin to listen to that which was no law, but yet there was still a law written on their hearts. And they begin to see that what good does it do to gain all the wealth of the world? This is all going to pass away. They just begin to hear those things. And they start listening, and then they hear another little something else and a little something else. And they begin to form ideas that are completely contrary to the world, and they begin to write them down. And people start coming to listen to them. And they say, wow, he's teaching something completely different. But it rings true. There's truth in what this man's saying. And he writes it down and it begins to get popular. And pretty soon, he's a god. And the next generation comes along and he's just one of the other gods. And he's written down all these wise, wonderful sayings that are true. And that happens over and over and over again until we've got all of these men who have become gods because they've heard the voice that was written on their heart. And now we worship all these different gods. And we're all just seeking the same God. That God, this God, that God. And they miss the God that is speaking to them. They worship the creature instead of the Creator. They talk about this God and that God, but they miss the unknown God. That is the inspiration to all those men who were hearing a voice and now have become a God. They're looking for something and they miss the one that's speaking it. They get sidetracked. You know, whenever Moses held up the serpent, the brass serpent, pretty soon, guess what? That brass serpent became the God. And this is exactly the way it's happened throughout all history. Somebody gets a light, and pretty soon they become the God and they miss the real God. There's a hijacking take place, a substitution, and they miss it. Today, people are missing it. Because instead of hearing the God that is speaking through men, they get a substitution. One of those things is the Holy Spirit. Instead of actually listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying and doing it and hearing and doing the law that's written in your heart, they start worshiping something they call the Holy Spirit. We see in the Bible about how people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I need to seek after that experience that those people had. We read about Paul. Paul was riding on his donkey and he saw a light from heaven and he fell down to the earth and was blind 3 days. He heard a voice. And people hear that experience and they say, "Wow, I need something like that. I must not have it. I haven't had that kind of experience." And you know those experiences happen. They happen to people like Paul, who had been taught all his life a lie. And he followed that Spirit. He heard something deeper. And he pursued after it. And he kept hearing and he kept listening to follow the truth. And he was doing it to the best of his ability. He was doing right what was right in front of him. Just like everybody else in the Bible. They were all busy doing what was right in front of them to do. They were doing it. Some of them were just garden pea patches. Some of them were threshing out wheat. They were all busy in just being the men that God made them to be. And God reached down and He spoke to some of them that were diligent, doing what they were supposed to do. And they began telling people what happened to them and how God had spoke to them. And so instead of listening and doing like they had done and started following the things that they had done, they said, "Wow, I want what He has. I want that Spirit. I want that manifestation. I want that experience." And the sad thing is, people pursue it till they get it. And the real truth is all covered up in what happened to them. And they go around telling people what happened to them. And the truth lays fallen in the street. And another little God is created that subverts people from the real God, the one that's speaking from heaven. Some people that have walked in darkness all their life have never heard the truth. God gets a hold of them. He turns their world upside down, maybe. Maybe He just has a clear vision and shows them something. And they go and start telling about that. And they tell people what happened to them. And pretty soon, there's another God. You know, a lot of us have came out of things and we've had some encounters with God. God has done some things in our life. God has revealed things miraculously to them. And we come back and we tell them to the church and we tell them to the young people. And the young people think, "Well, nothing like that's ever happened to me. I must not have it. I must be missing something. There's something lacking in me because nothing ever happened to me like that." Well, something better than that has happened to you. And you're missing it. You've been taught. Which is better? The Bible says it's a better thing to be taught than to be a Gentile out there wandering around. And God has to do something miraculous to get your attention. God is speaking to you, young people, through your parents, through the truth, through your pastor, And God says that is far better, because that's the way it's supposed to be. That is the way it's supposed to be. There's children, young people confused all over the world today that know the truth right in front of them, and they're chasing after something that one of their elders had one time, or some great man had, and they wrote a book about him. And now they're seeking after that same thing. They're seeking after that same experience that's going to make them a man of God. Read a book a little about the Indians. The Native Americans. You know, as those young men were growing up, they learned to do so many things that their fathers did. I mean, it was amazing some of those things those young men could do. They could make a fire, they could cook, they could trap, they could hunt, they could do all of these kind of things to survive. It was amazing what those young people could do. Just like it's amazing what young people who are trained to do, we underestimate what young people are capable of. They're not helpless little children. They can learn to do things. They've got just as great a mind as an adult to learn and to be able to do things and to apply things. They need experience, but they can learn. But these Indian young men learn all of these things of their fathers. But they can't be a part of the tribe yet. They can't be a part of the tribe. You know why? Because they've never had an encounter with their spirit. These Indians, they grow up learning everything that's right. But then when they get a certain age, they have to go out into the wilderness all by themselves. Maybe not drinking water for days. Maybe not eating for days. Just out there. Waiting. Praying. Seeking. Looking for the Spirit to come upon them. And they put themselves through all kinds of tortures waiting for that Spirit, seeking after that Spirit, because they can't be a part of the group until they get that Spirit. And they are scared to death they're not going to get it, and so they'll punish themselves until they get it. And then it comes. Then it comes. The Spirit comes to them. Sometimes it gives them a new name. Sometimes it's a vision to show them what they're going to do or what they're going to be in their life. What the Spirit wants for them. And then they can go back into the tribe and say, I've found it. The Manicou or Manitou, some one tribe has it. I'm not sure what they called it. But then they're welcomed back in as a man, a part of the group, because they've encountered that Spirit. Christians have something new that they've got to have this Spirit too? Or is it maybe just kind of the same old thing that's going on all over the world in all kinds of different religions? When God's Spirit is speaking to all men, trying to show them, walk in the light, just do what's right. I don't know how much confusion this has brought into young people who were taught and trained just to follow and listen to God. and then they wind up chasing after something, that proves that they've found it. Start talking in tongues and babbling, or start really having an ability to preach and talk to people. It's a lie. And it's not the Spirit of God. People are scared to death to say something about the Spirit. It's blasphemy. Well, it's blasphemy to accuse God with wickedness. That's what ought to scare us to death. Is to put God in the same camp as the devil. God came to make you holy. He taught us how for you to be holy. You know, when I see people filled in the Spirit in the Bible, I don't see men praying and begging God to fill them with their Spirit. I see men every time who are walking in the light. And God gives it to them. Most of the time, it's around baptism. It's about a decision that I'm going to walk in this light. I'm going to follow the God that created this world. That Spirit that maybe I didn't know what it was, or I didn't know His laws, but I followed the truth in my heart. And I did what I knew to do when I was in darkness. You know, whenever I see people praying in the Bible, Jesus fasted and prayed 40 days and 40 nights. He's getting ready for an encounter with God, isn't he? He's getting ready to meet God, isn't he? Who came to Jesus after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights? It was Satan. Satan manifests himself to Jesus. And he had some pretty wise words to offer him. And I'm going to tell you right now, 99% of humanity would have thought that they met God. And God just revealed something to them, a new truth. And they would take that and start a new religion. Jesus was listening to something deeper than that. You know, I think that's why Eve had this experience in the garden, where a snake started talking to her. She knew something had happened, and she had got a message. Is that fruit that really that bad? So she went and presented this to her husband with all of her persuasive powers. I found something you need to know. And Adam believed her. He didn't have the experience of meeting the snake. He made her into a god and worshipped her experience of meeting the snake and followed it to the destruction of mankind, the separation of mankind from God. I was going to talk about women and how women are filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when people talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and about having some experience, the women always seem to have the exact same thing that the men have. But the Bible is very clear, very plain about that. About how a woman is supposed to be that's filled with the Holy Spirit, that has God in their life. You know, so often we get things, you know, I've got a little God, I'm trying to do what's right, I'm really trying. There is black and white. There is good and evil. There is God and there is Satan. And there's nothing in between. Christianity, religion, has always tried to be somewhere right in the middle. I'm going to be a little more for God. They're just living in deception. God, a woman that's filled with the Holy Spirit of God, has committed herself to be what God has made her to be. And if she is not, she needs to repent of it right now and become. It's not just I'll try God for a while, or I'll try submission for a while and see if it works. Well, I'll just try Jesus. We read a sign last night on the way home. Try Jesus. The devil will always take you back. Well, you're not trying Jesus. It costs death to find Jesus. He's not just a coat you try on for a while and see if he'll keep you warm. It's a life. You either choose to follow it or you're a lie. And if you're not choosing to be submissive, you're not. If it's just something you're trying for a little while, you're not. Yesterday, preaching in Purdy, my hometown, where everybody knows me, some of the people I went to school with 40 years ago, went to school with them all my life. Come up, and one lady came up and said, I know what you went through. I know you went through a divorce, and you've just really got a thing against women. I know you. I've known you all my life. You just go overboard with this thing on women. You got a sign about women in divorce. You got a sign about women preachers. You got a sign about submission. You're just overboard on women. I've been told several times that, well, you're just not balanced. You're just out of balance. Yeah, what you're saying is true. Yeah, it's true. But you're just overbalanced. And I've thought about that before. And I thought about a car skidding. A car is skidding, getting ready to go over a cliff, and it skids sideways. How do you correct a car that's skidding? You turn that steering wheel as hard as you can the other direction to try to correct so the car will correct itself. You don't try to find a balance of where the wheel should be straight. Whenever something is needing correction, it needs corrected, not balanced. You understand what I mean? When you've got to correct something, you've got to correct it. Not just try to find a nice little balance so that you can keep right on skidding. Things are out of order. And they don't need balanced right now. They need corrected before they crash. And so our message is not balanced. It's a message of correction to a world that's headed to hell. And it needs some serious correction. And it's not going to appear too balanced to somebody who does not want corrected. God is looking for men who will be men, who will be filled with His Spirit because they're listening to His Spirit. They're listening to what God wants for man. They're not looking to become the next God. They're just listening to what God wants me to do, and how to be faithful in the very little thing He's placed right before me, and to do it, and to submit to that, and to be a part of it. A woman filled with God's Spirit is everything that God wants them to be. Let's turn in the Bible. To 2 Timothy. Bible is a book of correction. We take these chapters and books of the Bible, and they're there for a purpose. It wasn't just for those people that Paul was correcting. It was for correcting human beings who were out of order. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, just begin in chapter 10. I just want to... There's some things it's saying here, but I want to bring in problems for correction. Verse 10, it says, speaking of, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. I want to bring out a point here. Of these good things, well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet. I'm not sure where this thought came from. if she has brought up children, do you know that there's not one verse in the Bible that gives instruction for women, how women are to bring up their children? Do you know that there's not one verse in the Bible that tells women instructions of how to train their children? That's their primary responsibility, isn't it? It's because her instruction is to come from her husband of how to train up the children. That's why. It's because her responsibility is to her husband to train his children. She's his helper. Not equal. Not co-leader. God has established a headship order. A leader in the home. And he's to instruct the woman how to train his children. Because God works through a leader. God speaks through the leader. The woman gets her ideas. We've already seen where they come from most of the time. She starts making suggestions of how she thinks it ought to be. She might see a few things practically that she can suggest. But for the most part, if she's convinced of something, it's just about like being someone being convinced that God's told me something. I've had an encounter with God and He told me this. Have you ever tried to change the mind of someone who clearly going against what the Bible says, saying that God told me something? You're not going to change their mind. Their experience trumps what God says every time. It doesn't matter. It's the same way with a woman. God has given children, and He's given the responsibility of the home to the husband. God uses leaders. People are scared to death of leaders because there's a lot of bad ones . That's still the method God has chosen. People try to have church and we're just all going to be the same. We're just not, no leader, you just do this, you do as you. That is not God's order and God's plan. God has established men, given them responsibility. And as they follow the Lord, they're examples for you. Look, we get to questioning things and wondering. Woman, how does it work when the husband continually tells you that you're to submit to him? How does it work whenever he says, I'm your head, you have to submit to me? You need to be submissive. You need to submit to me. How's that go over? We why do you think it would work for you to say, why don't you be a leader? Why don't you make the decisions? If you'd make the right decisions, I'd gladly follow you. What's the difference? You're nagging at him the same way you would hate to be nagged at about being submissive. And here you are. Is that what you want? If a woman will get behind her man, he'll turn into a man. The nature of man is just to have a woman that'll think he's the greatest thing in this world. In whose heart he doth safely trust. Whenever a woman gets behind her man, and that man knows that she's behind him, and she can trust him, you wouldn't believe what kind of a man he'll grow into. Just a rock. But if you don't trust him, and you don't listen to him, and you don't make him feel like a king, he won't feel like one. If he does, it'll be in spite of you instead of because of you. You're to help him be the man. The best way that you can do that is trust him. You'll be amazed what he could grow into if he knows he's got someone depending on him. When he's got someone that really is behind him. What could Jesus do if his church was behind him? What could Jesus do if his church was questioning his leadership? What could Jesus do if every time something didn't look like it was going to turn out, the church said, I can't trust him. Look what he's leading me into. Look at all the mistakes he's making. Look at how dumb he looks. I can't trust him. What if the church looked at Jesus that way? It'd be an absolute failure, wouldn't it? And he couldn't do nothing because he doesn't have the support he needs to do it. He couldn't do anything because it's not there. But if he finds someone who believes in him, Lord, I'll trust you whatever happens. I don't care what it looks like. I'm following. I'm going through. I'm going to fight this battle. Look what Christ can do through that. Look what he can do when he finds someone that trusts him. And look who it exalts when he can find someone who trusts him. The church gets glorious. It's the same way in the home. It's the same way in the home. But the younger widows, verse 11, refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Is that the Holy Spirit? Tattlers, idle, busybodies, always into something. You know, one thing I've come to despise is a theologian. We see them all over the place. People discussing the Bible and talking about the Bible and all of this, just being able to explain it and correct you whenever you don't have everything just right. I despise something, one other thing, more than I despise that. A woman theologian. Women getting together and talking the Bible over, studying it all out. Figuring it all out. Learning and sharing what they've learned. That's not what God tells you to teach. The Bible says the older women are to teach the younger how to love their wives or love their husbands. How to be good, how to be chaste, not theology. They're not arguing the great doctrinal issues. That's the one thing I despise about the computer. It's easy for a woman just to be a theologian sitting there on the computer, figuring everything out instead of being thinking that they're got God's Spirit because they're being bold. Trying to take the place of a man out there preaching. Instead of learning how to be quiet, meek, submissive, supporting her man, loving him, being a rock. Not looking for his faults. You start looking for them, he'll start finding more. And then the condemnation comes. Instead of repentance. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. She worshipped Him. Wanted to hear every word He said. Whenever it was time for Him to die, everybody missed it except for her. She went and got the ointment and started anointing Him before He died. She knew her man. Wasn't a husband, like we think of the sense of the word husband, but it was who she worshipped right there in front of him. And it says that she poured that oil over his head, and everybody looked at him and said, "What a waste. Why are you wasting all of that money And Jesus said, what this woman has done will be preached wherever my gospel is preached. Here's a woman that's got it. Here's a woman that's got it. And all the tongues wagged. You build your husband up, and your children will see that, and they'll want to follow him. You tear him down, and your children will see that, and they'll want to tear him down. That's the same way it is with any authority over. But it is manifest, and I've seen it over and over and over again in the home. Women want to find their... They'll listen to anybody but their husband. They'll go ask anybody. Except their husband. Husband's an unbeliever. Wife will run to church and want all this advice. You know, if she'd just go home and find some of that advice from her husband and start putting it into practice, be amazed how the scales would fall off of his eyes. And he could hear that voice that people throughout history have heard way down deep in their heart. A little bit of that voice of the Spirit of God moving across the deep will be right there in front of him. Instead of being covered up by some religious hypocrite of a woman thinking she's so holy because she goes to church and wears a covering and does everything the pastor says. He doesn't see nothing but death in that and never will. Just another phony religion. But if she'd go home and let him be a man and she be a woman, that which is speaking from the very heart of the world, that Holy Spirit of God that's moving on the face of the deep, doesn't need a lightning bolt to strike down. It's right there in front of him. That's what 1 Peter's talking about. She's not going to be won by your fabulous ideals of being able to explain Scripture. He's looking for something much more valuable than that. A meek and quiet rock that'll trust her husband. Just like God created it to be in the very beginning. Isn't that something? That God's way in the very beginning was the way we were supposed to be. And Jesus, the second Adam, just lived the life that God created man to be in the first place. And we've turned it into some super religious, spiritual thing. And all God wants us to be is what He made us to be. And all God wants you to be, woman, is what He made you to be. close your Bible if you're not just going to learn from what He wants you to be in it. Shut your mouth. Quit your preaching. Be what He wants you to be. You get behind your husband and you be what Eve wasn't. You be his helper. You be his rock. And let him be the Adam that God made man to be in the first place. Jesus came to restore all things. And it's just that simple. And if you miss that, I don't care what's happened to you. You're full of lies and hypocrisy. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, we come before You again and we just praise You and thank You for Your holy word, for the Spirit of God. It's teaching us. Lord, we choose You and Your way. We choose Christ. We trust Him. We want to follow Him. Just like He in the garden. He didn't like what he saw was going to happen. But he deferred his will to yours. And Lord, help us do the same. Help us walk in the light. Hear the God that's speaking from the foundations of the earth. And be in tune with You. Thank You for Jesus. That light manifest in the flesh. That these men saw and heard and handled with their own hands. And they told us about Him. So that we could have more to build on. Help us to build on that rock. That truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Just follow that first encounter and they're so quick.
I really appreciate that thought about in the mercy of God, in the slime and drudgery that I was born into, God did reach down and He had to do stuff that, you know, opened my eyes a little at a time because they were sealed so shut. But He brought me to the light. And then as an older man, I realized, I don't need those things. I've got it. And I can pull those things off and thank the Lord for that little experience. But like you said, our children have a better way. It's just so joyous to be able to say to my children, don't listen to these lies. You have to have something. You have it right here.
Amen.
All you've got to do is walk in it. So don't be afraid if you don't feel some fluttering. It's normal not to. It's good. And it's just as... I wish I could have had that as a child.
Sure.
And to not have that baggage as a young man, to have to throw all that stuff off and say, okay, what is reality, what is not, and discern that God did use these things just to help me along, but that it's not the norm. It is not supposed to be the norm.
Right.
That's just a great blessing. Thank you, Lord.
I don't know whether I've shared before, a little saying is, Satan makes you feel. God makes you real. That's just, God is real. It makes it real. Satan uses feelings to trap people. And he'll give them to you. And sometimes he gives people the highest feelings. But the problem is, when you open the door to the highest feelings, you're opening the door to the lowest. God makes you real.
Amen. That morning to
All right. Well, I think we're going to Kevin's tonight. There is a visitation. Louise McCulley, one of the neighbor ladies here, so I'll probably be a little bit late getting there, maybe 6:30, maybe even 7 before we get there, but I'm going to try to go to that. So just let be there. I mean, we don't want to make it an all-night deal just because I'm going to be a little late. So be there at 6 o'clock. And we'll, as soon as we get there, we'll eat. So, anyone else have anything you want to share? Any of you women want to share a little bit? Do it with your husband. Okay. Lord bless you. Or your father or your head, whoever it is. You're just one.
Amen.